Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Only one guy I know, along with Kenny Peterson, that knows that is Matt Wilhelm, super friend of the show. He is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. My friend, how are you?
I'm doing very well, buddy. Great to be with you guys. And again, also still great to be talking about Ohio State football and playing in a national championship.
So I saw that picture again about 2 days ago when you were kissing the trophy. What? Because did I bring back memories for you? Because I got to tell you, I smiled when I saw it. I was like, oh, man. What a great day that was.
Of course. And you figure it's now 22 years removed since kissing that crystal ball, which ages all of us immensely. But ironically, every once in a while, as we come together for the, you know, the celebrations of the 10-year anniversary or the 20-year anniversary, Kenny Peterson was strategically, I believe, standing right next to Jim Tressel. And he actually takes all the credit for essentially snatching that crystal ball and then looking to his left, and there I was.
Yes.
And he was like, come on, let's kiss this thing. And it was like, okay. And it became that iconic picture that, you know, is emblazoned in every Buckeye fan's head. Besides Tressel holding it over his head and, you know, and shaking it like a baby, it was Kenny Peterson and I kissing that trophy. And again, there's not many times in your life where you, you know, have the opportunity to compete in a national championship or, in fact, a Super Bowl. So when you do, you know, it holds a definitely special place in your heart.
Matt, one of the greatest all-time Ohio State pictures, right up there with Eddie George against Notre Dame with six Golden Dome helmets behind him. And, of course, Woody Hayes outside in the snow wearing a short sleeve dress shirt. Those are probably top three for me. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, and you figure in the last, 10 years now, you've got Zeke with, 85 yards through the heart of the South.
Yep.
And now we've got the iconic, it's almost like a whole play because there's not just one picture of Captain Jack Sawyer with the strip sack, the wonderful Buckeye bounce right into his hands, and a pick, you know, a scoop and score touchdown that really solidified the opportunity to play for a national championship this coming Monday.
Matt, take yourself out of this from an Ohio State standpoint for just a second. We'll get right back to that. How do you like the 12-team playoff?
I mean, I love it. I think it's and that's being a college football fan for sure. I think, you know, there's an immense amount of revenue associated with it from a business standpoint. And I think the fact that Ohio State in year one got to host a game in frigid weather at the Horseshoe, beat up on the Southeast Conference team, which was fantastic, and then move on into the traditional bowl games as we know it. So I think, is it perfect? No, and I do think there's some tweaking being done or will be done with the committee and the strength of schedule and bowl champions and where they're seated. That's all fine and good, and I think it's going to be a work in process, just like name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal are still need to get tweaked. But I think it's great for the sport, and I think it's great for, I'm sure, sports betting. Not that I'm a gambling man, but it gives you the NFL playoff March Madness twist that I think was missing from the college football game.
A good point. That's a great point. Hey, Matt, think about this stat. If Ohio State should win and beat Notre Dame, and you go back and look at the final AP top nine from this year, Indiana, Tennessee, Penn State, Texas, Notre Dame, and Oregon. For Ohio State to win the national championship, they'll have beaten every one of those teams. I just think it's amazing to think about that, because that was a scenario that never existed until you had this playoff system.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think for Buckeye fans, you know, who've closely followed this football team, you know, where we opened, I think maybe preseason number two, maybe behind Georgia, I want to say, early in the football season. On paper, you know, this was with the NIL money thrown at these seniors to come back and with that unfinished business and leave no doubt mindset. And these seniors have consistently talked about, on paper, they were the most talented football team and were kind of like penciled in, not pen, not Sharpie, penciled in to compete and play for a national championship. And you lose to Oregon on the road by 1 point. And then the debacle that was the game against the team up north at home and what that meant. There were significant questions about this football team and that high-paid roster and how talented we are and the coaching staff and, you know, people calling for the coach's head coach and coaches on that plan. And then the analogy that I've used every time I talk about this football team is it was as if we were the red Ferrari with a governor that only allowed us to go about 100 miles an hour, and that was the regular season.
Yeah.
And then we get to the college football playoffs after we've been humbled by that team up north and lost to them for the fourth time in a row. That governor has come off. And I'm talking about that's the leadership, that's the scheme, that's the execution, that's these players, that's Jeremiah Smith, Jack Sawyer, JT Tumoliau, Donovan Jackson playing amazing at left tackle, both of the backs, Will Howard all playing very well, and Eke Abuka. Like, the Ferrari's now going 250, and you're pushing this team to its limit. And now, finally, and I'm glad that it's happened at this juncture, but it marries what we thought on paper with what we're seeing on the field, and that's why we're at where we're at. And I think it's going to be a double-digit victory in the national championship against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Matt, that moment you're talking about, you know, when the governor came off and they went nuts, is that, and I think it is, I think you described it really well, is that bigger than just this year? Is that maybe an enlightening moment where the Buckeyes realize, and the coaching staff in particular, all right, hey, we just got to go to compete in college football the way it is today. We can't worry about, you know, playing it conservatively. The playoff gives us a chance. If we lose a game or two, we're still okay and good to go. I think it could be, you know, like a program-altering moment that they've realized here since the playoffs have started.
Well, I do too, and I think that there are, when I talk about this, I'm not saying Ryan Day has done this or this staff has done this, but there are staffs out there that sometimes, you know, because Ohio State, of maybe five programs in the country, you know, one of them being Ohio State, it's national championship or bust every single season.
Right.
So you have to recruit to win a national championship. You have to coach to win a national championship. The players have to play to win a national championship. But that's why you choose to go to Ohio State and not some other place. And I think, you know, Urban Meyer's even talked about that this week on his Triple Option podcast with Mark Ingram and the other gentleman who joins him as well. But that's what makes Ohio State special. And so I do think it was an aha moment. And I believe that these coaches have realized that they can chess piece and game plan and take things at fact, and they are so talented, as talented a roster, I think probably as in college football history, that they can just go do, and these guys will meet and or exceed expectation, which then, again, to go back to my Ferrari point, you take the governor off. Like, if Chip Kelly's got a defense pegged, he can call anything on his playbook, and those guys will go execute it. Will it be perfect? No. But will it be good enough to be successful? Yes. And I think that's what we're going to find, you know, in college football and how the landscape changes, is how these, with this Ohio State football team, if they follow through and win the national championship, the other blue bloods and also the other faux blue bloods, like in Oregon, who's just popping on the scene and thinks they're like, you know, they're, you know, with zero national championships, that they're a blue blood. But they're going to be great, and they're going to compete, and they're going to recruit very well now with Dan Lanning as a head football coach. I think what they're going to do is they're going to go out, raise a bunch of money. Not that they haven't already, but they're going to build a roster to compete with whomever won the national championship from the prior year and kind of like mimic that recipe. And that's the combination of young and the old, right? That's, you know, young players contributing. That's Ryan Williams at Alabama. That's Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State. They're going to go hit the portal for a QB, which, you know, Miami tried to do with Cam Ward. You look at both teams playing in the national championship, you know, Riley Leonard and Will Howard both were other places last year, winning, you know, 7 or 8, 9 football games for a mid to upper tier Power Five football school, but then you put them in the environment, that winning environment with other great players at Ohio State and other great players like they have and recruited at Notre Dame, and all of a sudden their game elevates and everyone around them also elevates as well, and here they are sitting in a national championship game. So it's a unique time in college football, and I think it's for the better.
Matt, let me ask you this one, because you are in a truly unique group of a guy that, you know, won a national championship on the field in college football and then came back and did it with the Packers in 2010. Can you, are the experiences of winning that, either one of those, are they similar in any way? Are they totally unique or different? Because I'm, you know, the Ohio State guys, you went to war with for years, right? And then, you know, Green Bay, right time, right place, all about the business of football. So I'm just curious, are there any comparisons, or, you know, when you look back at both of those, can you compare?
You know what, they're both championship and winning and, you know, historic franchises and or schools in that case, call it like the blue blood of the NFL.
Right.
You know, the Green Bay Packers have to be a part of that, as are the Ohio State Buckeyes from a college football level. But they're starkly different because, and it's also just because of the nature of the recruiting process is you choose Ohio State, and at the, you know, in most cases at the professional level, the team chooses you.
Right.
Right. And that's kind of the situation that had happened. You know, for us, it was a historical run with Krenzel and Maurice Claret being a freshman, doing what he did, our defense being what has been constructed. And, you know, you got to figure, no bowl game, loss against Michigan with John Cooper as a freshman, Outback Bowl, which means I think third place in the Big Ten, and another loss to Michigan as a sophomore. John Cooper gets fired. Jim Tressel comes in. We go 8-5 year one. We beat Michigan, then lose the bowl game in the Outback Bowl. And then we were just primed with classes of, you know, Mike Doss and Kenny Peterson and some of those seniors that were ahead of us. And then, you know, you had Will Smith and Chris Gamble and Mike Jenkins and, you know, in classes below me or with me, talked about Claret. And it was just like a perfect storm that was brewing. And there was a hunger amongst all of us as Buckeyes to go do something special. Did we realize, you know, early on, we were going to be going undefeated and win a national championship? No, but it was just like we were one game at a time just chewing away and surviving in some cases.
Purdue.
Big Ten right. Play. Yeah, Purdue. You mean Holy Buckeye going to the Buckeye. First ever overtime game in the Big Ten against Illinois the week after. And then, shoot, it took a, you know, heave-ho by John Navarre up 14-9 late in a football game with an interception by Will Allen to secure that spot to go compete for a national championship. So they're both winning. They're both championships, but they're starkly different. And also I'll say for me, you know, I chose the Buckeyes as an Ohio kid to stay in Ohio and play at Ohio State. And, you know, I was only there in Green Bay for one season, but it's, of course, extremely memorable for me and my family.
And it's still fun to look at the ranking.
Yeah, that worked out.
All right, how does this game play out on Monday night?
Well, I think, you know, you look at Notre Dame, they mimic their head football coach. And I love Marcus Freeman. I think, you know, he's an Ohio kid. He's a Buckeye who chose to play football at Ohio State and then has gone on and had immense success as the leader of men, which is to no surprise. And I think that I just think it sets up amazing for college football to have these two blue bloods. I think it also, like a little, you know, thumb your teeth at Brian Kelly for making his comment about Notre Dame will never be able to compete against the SEC, and yet Brian Kelly at LSU can't compete in the SEC. And then Notre Dame beats Georgia, their SEC, you know, conference championship winner. So I think it just sets up perfectly. But if we, and I'll say that the gift of the Texas football game, while it was not, you know, a clean football game for Ohio State, but if we can play as talented of a football team as Texas, make the errors that we did, that's the Travion punch, that's the holding calls, that's, you know, all these calls that just seem to go against us and put us in third or second and long throughout the football game to allow for Jack Sawyer to make the play that really put it away, the goal line stand that I talked about that led to the fumble. I don't see Notre Dame be able to hang with our skill. And now that's not just offensive skill. I can't see Notre Dame's receivers consistently getting open on downs, Ransom, Igbinosin, Burke, Matthews, Hancock. And even after that game, at some point, I think both guards or guard and tackle for Notre Dame were out along the offensive line. So then you have another strength, Tyleek Williams, Ty Hamilton, Jack Sawyer, JT Tomoliau, you know, and the Jim Knowles defense, you know, bearing down on Riley Leonard. And I think it's just going to, we're just going to suffocate them with talent. And I hate to say this, I don't see this being a close football game. And I was talking to a buddy even earlier on the phone. I said, the numbers that keep popping into my head are like 31-13, 31-10. Like, it's not going to be close. And if it is, it's our own fault, not because of any of their doing.
Yeah, I have flashbacks of Oregon, right, where you saw the first game against Oregon, then you saw the second game against Oregon, and then the flashbacks to Notre Dame last year and to what's ahead here. I keep kind of playing into that. And then the fact that Ohio State is just so good defensively in the red zone. It's unbelievable. And they proved it.
And the one other comment I think I saw, I don't know who it was that posted on social media, but to go back to multiple close games against Notre Dame in the home and homes we've had in the last 2 years, the guy made the comment, I went, wow, is he right? And I don't know who it was, but it was like, this year's Ohio State football team would beat last year's and the year prior's football team by 14 points, if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense.
How better defensively and offensively we are than we have been in years past. When, you know, we closely beat Notre Dame, or the game was probably closer than a lot of people thought, or it came down to, again, you know, converting a goal line situation and, you know, crossing the plane. This team is two touchdowns better than the last 2 years of Ohio State football. And I think you're going to see that in the national championship game on Monday night.
All right, Matt, how's life treating you on the other side of things? Just so we have a chance to catch up.
No, you're good. My son.
Oh, I lost him. That must be me. Sorry, Matt. I don't know what happened. I lost you on the line there. Anyway, we want to thank Matt Wilhelm for joining us, and just an incredible friend of mine on top of everything else. And I just appreciate him coming on. And you know that thought process, Jeff, of being in a Super Bowl championship and to play in the first, you know, that first national championship against Miami and win that. I wonder if that's what, you know, to have that feeling and understand that. All right, I apologize.
What?
I accidentally hit the mouse when we were talking to Matt Wilhelm there at the end. So I apologize.
Did you accidentally click on it?
No, what happened was I went like this, and I hit the clicker. I didn't mean to. So, like, I swiped my hand over.
Moved over, and you clicked as you hit the mouse.
I went to go hit the mouse. But that, like, and but what was weird was
that's like the second time in a week you've done that.
And nice thing.
I didn't do that last week.
Didn't you do that last week one time?
I don't believe he did that last week.
I thought you did that last Maybe you were week. Doing the show with somebody else.
Yeah, I don't believe that was the case.
Although you would have been answering the phones if you were with somebody else when you did that.
I could have sworn you did that by accident last week.
So I just kind of swiped my hand over to go put my hand near the mouse because I knew we were getting near the end of the interview, and I accidentally knocked him off. It's like, I feel bad. I feel bad when I do that to anybody, but especially to Matt, because Matt's been a dear friend.
There's a very large, tall, ripped man outside ready to beat the you-know-what out of you.
Yeah, it's not Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Someone's going to come and get him.
Probably. Monday night.
It's great when we can use Kevin Stefanski drops. Really is.
It is. You know what impresses me about this game on Monday, Jeff?
Kevin Stefanski has something to say about it?
No, that you're kind of into it.
Oh, I'm really into it.
Appropriately.
You are.
You know why I'm into it?
Jeff, we've been doing this 13 years. I've known you forever, right?
You know why I'm into it?
And you, like, anytime I would say, hey, let's talk about Ohio State here. Let's do this. I'd be like, okay. You know, like, you were just trying to be like, okay, Andy, you're a good guy. We'll talk about Ohio State for a little while. We both have our passions on different subjects.
Sure.
Right? And
well,
so
it'd be bad if we were the identical guy.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty boring show.
As if, you know.
I don't know. Depends how many voices you get in your head. It could be pretty entertaining.
That is true.
You know why I'm into this?
Why, Jeff Phelps, why are you into this Ohio State Notre Dame National Championship?
Numerous reasons. First and foremost, I think the 12-team playoff is something that's really good. I can't wait until they expand it to 16. I think it's been long
overdue. So you're with me on that one. I've said 16 all along.
I think it's long overdue.
And my biggest point is I don't remember ever getting one phone call ever in 13 years or ever having somebody talk to me in the last 20, how long have we been doing this, Jeff?
Since the early 60s, I think.
Probably, like late 80s, early 90s, right? I've never once heard anybody go, you know, that subdivision tournament they do in the NCAA for football, that's horrible. Too many teams, they play too long. The old 1AA system, that was stupid. I don't know why. Division 2, Division 3, why do they have so many teams? Not once did I ever hear anybody say anything about that.
No.
But now suddenly the big boys are doing it, and there's all kinds of problems.
This is the other reason I'm in it. I like the playoff. I like watching Ohio State. They're a fun college team to watch. This is the biggie, and a lot of folks won't like this. The mentality of Ohio State fans drives me nuts sometimes. Certain Ohio State fans. The group that Kirk Herbstreit talked about and got incredible grief for. And
the lunatic fringe?
That would be the group.
Yeah.
Where we can lose every game, but as long as we beat Michigan, it's a successful season. Come on, man. The 1950s are over. They're over. This is a new world, and you want to beat Michigan. Sure you do. Sure you do. The Baltimore Ravens might be the best team in the NFL, and they lost to the Browns. Okay? They overcame that. So what? You lost to Michigan. Yeah, it's bad. But you have a chance to win the national championship. And what I'm doing really, Andy, is rooting for Ryan Day. I think he can coach. I think he can supervise whatever it is going on, NIL with all the money, whatever it is. I don't know the legalities and everything else. All I know is that he's done a really good job with this program. And I think they're the type of team that can compete for a national championship every year. Does that mean you might stub your toe once in a while against somebody who wants to grind one out and win a 10-7 game or whatever it might be against you? Maybe. But that doesn't matter anymore. Because if you can get in the top 12, you have a chance for your ultimate goal. And I would love to see Ryan Day stick it up everybody's nostrils, who was screaming and yelling that he should get fired because he's lost to Michigan four straight times. Yeah, that's not ideal. I'd rather see a team win a national championship. And that's why I've been really enjoying this. Because I think they're terrific, man. You think about a really good program, really good players, and they're well coached. They weren't well coached against Michigan. They messed that game up. If they had played against Michigan with the same strategy they used against Oregon, they'd have beat Michigan by 20. But they didn't.
So think about these two. First of all, Ryan Day is one win away from 70 victories. 70. If they win, he'll be 70-10.
You think he's a good coach?
I do think he's a good coach.
Yeah, I do too. And I think he's really good.
You know why I like him? Because he was humble enough to bring in an offensive coordinator.
And not just any offensive coordinator.
And a defensive coordinator.
A guy with a name.
Right? I mean,
guy he has a history with.
Yeah, and he stands out there. I just listened to his press conferences after the game. And I think maybe I've heard way too many NFL press conferences. Because there are times when Ryan wears the emotion of the players and the fans when he's on the dais after a game. I'm sure there are folks that don't like him afterwards. That's fine with me. I've just seen too many on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
The other two stats that I think are just mind-blowing is that people would criticize Ohio State for not being able to beat SEC teams, right? Especially in bowl games. That Ohio State can't beat SEC teams in bowl games. Prior to this year, you know how many wins they had against SEC teams in bowl games?
Tell me.
Two. You know how many they have this year?
Tell me.
They have two. They doubled their output this year in this run alone.
The only thing I think he screwed up big time, their strategy against Michigan wasn't good.
No, I thought Matt hit the nail on the head. They put a governor on a Ferrari.
Right, but leading into the game, when he talked all about, you know, biggest thing losing to Michigan, you know, other than my father dying in my life, that he didn't handle that well. And I think it just makes it, that made it even worse. But I think he's a big-time college coach. A buddy of mine sent me an article, I believe it was written in USA Today, that said, Ryan Day wins the national championship, says, see ya,
right,
at the age of 45, sits out for a year, and then goes to an SEC team.
I'd rather see him in the NFL. I think he's more of an NFL quarterback.
I'd rather see him in Columbus.
Yeah, I would too. I'm okay with that.
I'd rather see him in Columbus.
I just think it's mind-blowing to think about that AP top 9, not even 10. Indiana at 9, they beat late in the season. Tennessee, they beat in the playoffs, right? You go up to number 5, Penn State, beat during the regular season. Texas, number 4, beat during the playoffs. They'll play Notre Dame. We'll see how that plays out. Oregon, number 1, beat during the playoffs.
Yep.
At 13-0, the only undefeated school in the country. I know there are folks out there that still maybe won't like him when it's all said and done, but And you wish you would have took the governor off against Michigan. I get it. Yeah, I understand
they
it. But
they
I
didn't do a good job in that game.
No.
I've always hated in college football, it was the system that was in place. I always hated that one loss, and that not Ohio State to Michigan necessarily, but one loss at the wrong time could cost you a season that didn't that you might have been the best team. You know, if you lost early, that was okay as long as you won out.
Oregon.
If you lost
Oregon
late
by one point.
If
right?
you lost late, then you were in trouble in the old system, you know? And I just like the system in place better, and I think Ohio State has a really good program and a really good coach. And I'm pulling for him. I really am. I'm pulling for Ryan Day.
Well, think about it. They were 4 points. Well, if you want to call the win, they were 5 points away from being undefeated on the entire season. That's an if and but, and it doesn't really matter. All right, let's come back. We got a lot more to do. We're going to talk to John Schumann coming up at 1 o'clock about the NBA. And Menigan has a dilemma, and I think I have the same one. You need to hear it. I'll explain it when we come back. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092, Jeff. Jeff, have you ever done anything contract detrimental to the team before? Just want to make sure.
Don't believe so.
Just you and Jimmy Butler?
I don't believe so. You tell me. I mean, we're the team right here, baby.
I guess so. No, I don't think you've ever done conduct detrimental to the team for at least something that I didn't sleep on the next day and didn't care about anymore.
Good.
Okay. Me? Yes, no?
Well, of course not, Andy. Oh,
the silence.
You're the most generous man ever. You keep buying us stuff.
That's so you'll
Here,
be nice to me.
Good to go. Thanks.
What do you want to drink? I would say to Jeff, and he wouldn't say anything. So I would just bring him back a drink, and he would be happy.
What a nice guy.
It's all
I'm telling you. Nice everybody tea. Needs a coworker like Andy Baskin.
What a pal. What a pal. What a pal.
What do you mean, buddy?
I smell the sarcasm.
What a pal.
No, it's true.
216-474-0092.
It's true.
All what right, let's help out our other pal here. What's your issue that's going on, Dan, that we need to help you out with?
All right, gentlemen. So I am lazy. That's the right word.
Good answer.
And so with being gifted with this laziness.
It is a special gift.
It
yes.
really is.
Yeah, I mean,
at what point is it ridiculous to keep the Christmas decorations outside and lit?
Outside?
At what point has it gone too far?
And lit?
Yes.
Like turning it on and every night?
Correct. It's all hooked up to a timer. Because I'm, again, gifted with laziness.
As long as it's sitting there, leave it lit. If you haven't taken it down, I'd keep burning it at least through January. Why not?
Question.
You have a little penguin. I know that. A little holiday penguin.
Yeah, quite little.
We had a little penguin in our front yard too, right? Snowman that was holding a little penguin. How many of your other neighbors still have their lights up?
I think one. I will have to report back later, though, because I don't totally remember. Because, again, it's not like I'm taking walks around the neighborhood because
right.
of my incredible gift.
This is true. You should be a super. Has Marvel ever thought about Lazy Man? Wouldn't that be a great guy? That'd be a great
There's
character.
There's no need to fit. Yeah, I'm going to take a nap.
Good idea.
Call Iron Man. I got a lot to do.
Yeah. I'm not. There's too many wrinkles in that. Iron Man's your guy. Listen, your neighbors, you think you have one neighbor that still has lights up?
I believe that is the case. I believe I'm at one neighbor.
Are you feeling like, what's the fear? FOMO, fear of missing out. Do you feel like do you have that FOMO feeling about still having your Christmas stuff up?
No, it's just more like, I think they all know that I'm lazy. And okay. I don't want to give them more ammo as to why I am lazy. So I kind of want to follow the norms a little bit. Also, due to my, again, what I've been blessed with, it's not like we have a finely shoveled driveway either. Because, you know, I got a reputation to uphold.
Yeah, I mean, who else needs, I still have ice on the driveway. I need it there.
Okay, yeah.
In case exactly. I need ice, right? Extra ice. You never know when you're going
to
have a last second party. Go back outside, chop it up, throw a couple beers in the cooler, you're good to go.
I like to think of it as protection.
No need to spend $2 on ice.
Just in case the King of England decides to show up.
That's right.
I got to protect my castle.
I'm assuming then the tree is still up on the inside then?
Oh, yeah, darn right that tree's up. That thing's making it to at least Martin Luther King Day, if not longer.
Mm. When is there a statute of limitations on the tree?
I don't know. I've got relatives that keep theirs up and just decorate them for the holidays until they finally get around to it.
Dude, I mean, if we
got
can...
one cousin that decorates it for, honestly, for Valentine's Day, Easter. It's ridiculous.
The same, the tree is up for Valentine's Day?
The problem with their tree is they're afraid if they take it down, it's just going to crumble to bits and
oh,
be
it's
way
legit. It's
too
a real,
much work.
It's a real one. Gotcha.
No, it's a fake one that's seen some things.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Jeff, tree up or down?
My wife took it down before New Year's Day.
Whoa!
Wow.
And took
is that
down,
tradition?
And took, I don't know. She started doing it, and I said, what are you doing? And she said, Christmas is over. I said, yeah, but you know, our daughter lives out of town. She had to go back for work and then was returning for New Year's. I said, maybe she'd like to still see, you know, the Christmas tree up and all the holiday decorations. And she said, nope, they're done. And she took down everything Christmas before New Year's. I thought, well, okay.
Did you hear the answer on my house this morning when I said to you?
Yeah.
When we talked to, did you hear the answer to?
No. What'd you say?
Guess. Up or down? Is the tree still up in our house? Yes or no?
Man, your wife's on top of this stuff. So yeah. I'm going to say.
She's the anti Andy
Baskin.
You know what?
I'm going to go with she's got the ornaments off of it, but the tree itself is still up.
Hmm. The answer is 100% still up.
Is it 100%
still up, yeah. She does such a great job with it, too. You know, I'm like the guy that throughout the year, you kind of see those little the ornaments that are like, oh, like we were in Charleston. So we got one of these little Charleston ornaments that we put up there.
Sure, you did.
And like you see a little hockey skate, you know, you see those ornaments, those are on the tree, too.
Nice.
It's almost like, should you have a kid's tree or a regular tree? Kind of that argument. Does that make sense? You with me on that?
As a man who has a Tyrannosaurus Rex cookie jar currently sitting on his mantle. You know which direction I am.
That is impressive. That is very, very impressive.
We're not adults. We will not claim to be adults. We will never be adults.
Nice.
All right, so what are you going to do?
I mean, I think what we'll do is, hey, I'm not doing it today. It's too damn cold. That's just ridiculous.
You know what? I could use some help.
I'm not a penguin. I'm not a polar bear. We're not taking that down.
Let it ride, man.
You're going to let it ride? Is he doing the right thing? That's my question. And what is the statute? Like, at what point do you get aggravated? Like, my neighbor across the street, like all my neighbors. So we had the one neighbor across the street that had like the blow up lawn stuff like we kind of did with the penguin. And I loved it. And then I came out like after probably before New Year's, it was gone. And I was like, oh, It was like, you know, when I was a kid, we'd go to Neyland Park and we'd drive through Neyland Park. And that was like the greatest thing ever when I was a kid. That was to me, that was Disneyland. And then like TRW used to do a thing out on, Richmond Road. They had a big one too when I was a kid growing out there. We used to go through there and that's Legacy Village and all that stuff out there. But I just like, you know, you look at it and then I've got my other neighbor who's straight ahead and off to the left. And like, I don't know if they've got some company that comes in and does it, but he's got like the track lighting around the top of his house. It's still,
oh, yeah.
So his is still
big,
up
that's
there.
That's big time stuff.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's. Then there's a part of me that wonders if it's up there all year now, and then he just turns them off, and you can't tell.
I wonder
because
that.
They're tracks.
I always wondered
do
about that.
That's smart.
It's a great idea if you think about it.
And on top of the fact, now with these LEDs, you can have them change colors just basically with a remote. So you can, I mean, heck, if you want red, white, and blue, boom. You know, you want whatever you want green for St. Patrick's Day, boom. You know, it's really nice.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do one of these drone kits. I'm just going to put a drone kit up every year, and it can hover around our house for every holiday and just change colors then.
Really?
What do you think of that? I'm going to buy about 1,000 drones.
I think that would be great.
Let them fly around my house. It'll be outstanding.
Kids would have to stop the action and pick up basketball games because you're not allowed to have drones flying over sporting events.
I'm really excited for when you're going
to
have the
Is there any truth to that? You bring that up.
They stopped an NFL game the other day. One
because
of the playoff games, there was a drone flying over the stadium. They shut her down.
I know that there was a high school football game 2 years ago over at Warrensville Heights when they opened up their new stadium, which, by the way, is really nice. And the team they were playing against had a drone that they were flying for team film, and they stopped the game in the middle. They're like, it is illegal to fly a drone over Warrensville Heights High School during athletic activities. And so they stopped the game, and all of a sudden you see like this kid who was flying the drone humble as the drone comes back into the thing. Is that the future of holiday house lighting? Drones.
I don't know. I think the way we're going is got either the LED lights or even those spotlights, I think probably is the future that we're going to have. Those spotlights are really nice that you can do all sorts of stuff with.
And they can do like all the, yeah, I like the,
yeah, those.
The,
no, the
sparkles
drone thing,
and stuff.
I think the drone thing is where we're going to set up fireworks. I got.
I think you're right on that too.
Drone shows instead of fireworks.
Have you seen any of these?
I've seen video of them, And it's unbelievable what they can pull out. And I've seen Spider-Man, so I got a general idea.
Well, that's a good point. No, if you ever get bored and you want to see what these drones can do, rather than, like, I'm sure ballparks are going to stop doing fireworks nights and start doing drone nights. And because go back, the Angels did it. I know the Angels did it a couple times, or they did it at least once, and they did it in conjunction with Disney.
Right.
It was like watching the movie in drone. It was unbelievable. And as I said, I was just mesmerized by the whole thing. Then maybe what we could do is we could do the drones and the fireworks at the same time, and you could see all the drones come flying out of the sky after getting hit with the fireworks.
Okay.
It's a very, very expensive Roman candle fight. That's what I'm hearing right now.
Cavs go back on the floor, don't they, Jeff?
That's what I hear, Andy. They usually do.
Are we worried about our Cavaliers after losing the other day in Indiana?
Why
now
no?
They get payback tonight.
Why no?
I mean, they are 35 or 33 and 5. TNT, big games.
You think so?
Let me take one phone call. We'll go to break. We'll talk more about the Cavs here in a second. Gary in Cleveland. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man? How are you?
Hi, Gary.
Wanted to talk about the Buckeyes. I live in Columbus, but I'm a truck driver, so I'm in Cleveland twice a week.
Sweet.
Jeff's always dogging us Ohio State fans because we're on Ryan Day so much, but just wanted to ask Jeff if he realized how much money Ryan Day makes for being head coach.
Why does that matter?
You mean to win national championships, Gary, like he might on Monday?
I'm sorry?
He's paid to win national championships, right?
Well, and the biggest thing is to beat Michigan, too. Like his,
yeah, that was 1957, Gary.
Gary, bigger than winning a national championship?
I'm sorry?
Bigger than winning a national championship? To beat Michigan.
Beating your rival.
Is it bigger to beat Michigan or win a national championship? That's the question that's on the table.
Beating Michigan first, and then...
And that's why I'm rooting for Ryan Day.
And Gary, a guy that a team... Is it important if you win, I don't know, if you beat six of the top nine teams in the country in the same season, something no one's ever really done before? I don't know that anyone's ever done that before. Does that matter?
Okay. That was just this year.
Yeah, that is this year.
But the reason that all of us fans have been on Ryan Day, for the reason that he's lost to Michigan for the past 4 years.
So, Gary, do me a favor. I have no problem. Gary, I worked in Columbus. I host the John Cooper Show. I'm not going to sit here and take a lip from you. Here's what I want, Gary. Gary, I want you to call me on Tuesday if they beat Notre Dame, and I want you to say loud and proud you want him fired. That's what I want to hear. Will you do that for me? You'll call me on Tuesday and tell me you want Ryan Day fired if they beat Notre Dame, okay?
I'm just saying that he, as a diehard Buckeye fan, he still has to beat Michigan.
I don't disagree. He does need to beat Michigan. Gary, I will agree with you on that. It can't happen every year, but I just think it sounds absolutely absurd right now that you would sit here on the heels of a championship night on Monday night with the ability to beat Notre Dame and be the best team in the country, and you had one little stumble against a team that you probably should beat every year, but you didn't, and so what? I mean, you beat every top 10 team you played this year. I don't know what more you want.
It's like going to an expensive restaurant. You could end up with a phenomenal cowboy ribeye, but the bread they brought you was a little bit chilly, so you're really mad.
John Schumann, NBA.com, next, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.